if you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
From the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Christ to save.
This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Welcome to Hope Radio 98.7.
Welcome.
We're excited because we're starting a new subject.
Oh, absolutely.
The last subject was really good, Christians and politics. That was really good.
Oh, absolutely.
We actually had an encore presentation on that. And
but a bless.
It was really cool. We had Rebecca Clayfish and Ken Nabby from Converge Great Lakes Regional President join us, and that was good.
Yeah.
Then we had the CAPT Project team.
The team. Come and get it in.
Had it in.
Chop it up.
Forgot that they were on radio.
Right.
Or in front
of mics.
Exactly, right. But it was a good and awesome time. And so I'm actually excited about this particular piece because there's a lot of interest, guys, out there about people wanting to know God, you know,
in
a very general sense. You know, Morgan Freeman just did a series called God, where he went around the world and looked at the different religions and things like that. And his summation of that whole series was basically all paths lead to God, which appears to be a very accepted thought process.
Yeah.
But as you know, the only problem with that is that if you have one of those religions proclaiming to be the only way, then
it messes up the whole flow.
But then people argue, well, they're just not enlightened, quote unquote, which is actually ridiculous because in nature, the laws of contradiction come into play.
Right.
If you have evidence that hot is not cold and cold is not hot, I mean,
they
mutually contradict themselves, so you can't have, you know, that exist in
Praise
nature.
Praise God for practicality, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Right. And then there's another series. You mentioned it, Frank.
Yeah, I just was watching on YouTube. No, it wasn't on YouTube. It was actually on the news feed on Facebook, and they getting ready on Stars to get ready to do a new series called The Gods of America.
Okay.
And I really was looking at it, and I was thinking, like, okay, is they going to talk about the different religions? Is they going to talk about the different faith? And so I end up looking at this minute and a half trailer where it actually began to get into some Greek mythology type stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just was thinking about, like, you know, it's good. I like looking at those type of shows from time to time. But one of the things that jumped out at me was the comments that was being made. And the comments was just all over the place, like getting into, you know, different belief systems and ideologies, and they were arguing back and forth. And then it was one guy that just happens to be a Christian that said something about Jesus being the only way, the life. And everybody on the whole comment just turned on him. And it was just crazy. And I just read it. I didn't comment on anything, but I read it, and I just thought about how there are many different doctrines and many different faiths that are coming to the forefront because of the search, or the scripture says God putting eternity in our hearts. Everybody's searching for that higher power or that purpose, and then they find themselves running to these makeshift faiths.
Yeah, and because in history we've had a number of faiths or religions that have popped up. Some of them, you know, weren't worth their weight in salt. Some of them give a lot of credibility to a lot of things. And we're going to talk about that, especially when we do our discipleship piece April 8th, 15th, and the 22nd.
I got the first question. Would you like it? Coming from DQ, he says, how does our culture define God? And then the second piece to that question is, how should we define God?
Right, and we're going to talk about that. Because clearly our culture is trying to define God under its own filter, in its own comparison.
That's
where you're getting like a lot of different religion.
Right.
And we call that term man-based religion,
where
man is the filter of the religion.
Right.
So if there is a God, he's got to be like me.
Right.
He's got to think like me. He has to have a logic. So
look
basically,
like me.
Right. So the apex, that means that this God that's out there is actually the apex of who I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that's that man filter. And you have a lot, some religions that believe that we'll strive to be gods ourselves. You got the New Age movement, of course. Mormonism
is
one of those faiths that believe
you can actually become a god,
right? Exactly,
with your own planet,
right? And so it's the man base or the world, the way the world sees God is primarily through more of a personal filter.
Okay,
because when you start talking about eternity, omniscience, omnipresent, they can't fathom that there's a being that exists like that.
Right.
And that's why even Carl Sagan, you know, when he was had to come to the point where he had to deal with basically deal with some type of eternity, he chose to choose space as eternity, as the only being or as the only that's always
the final
existed.
Frontier of life.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so space somehow created all that we see today. And so, and now you also have a movement, you know, intelligent design movement.
Yeah.
Anywhere but God, where you have, this is one scientist that said that the world got seeded from crystals from space. Micronisms were on space rocks of ice and hit the earth. And what's interesting is, you know, you have a lot of the alien movies are based on that thought process
and things
like that. And so, again, there's it's interesting. And also, just a side note, I find it interesting that they're looking for life on Mars. And any possible resemblance of life, any organism they can possibly find, they're willing to call life. But a baby in the womb is not considered life.
Anyway,
so that's my little side note. I just found that interesting because I also like studying God's creation in space and the planets and things like that, the mathematical equations of the solar system.
You know, the fact that
if the moon was a little bit further out, we'd have no tides. And if they were a little closer, we'd virtually have flooding all over the place, and the dynamic of all creation.
Did y'all know
that if the earth wasn't positioned where it is from the sun, that the Milky Way arm would cloud us and we'd see no stars whatsoever. We're actually in like the perfect viewing zone for space. Anyway, I digress. I just
nerded out.
But
man, that's all right. But even in that, to say, like, as far as we're positioned perfectly in God's divine, if we were a degree closer or further from the sun, we'd freeze or burn. So,
Guess what?
Yeah.
That's God's GPS, God's positioning system.
We like that. That's a new rap.
Malcolm over there looking. Malcolm's over there looking like, okay. That wasn't corny at all. What we want to talk about, you know, get into the subject, we're going to go through a number of things. When we talk about who is God, and the opening piece from Jeremiah,
Yeah,
it's really important, because when we do our discipleship, as you guys know in the Captive Project, one of the first things we try to warn people is don't try to use your knowledge to win an argument.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Because if you start getting into arguments with people and you start...
Or even your logic.
Yeah, the logic. Some people will be smarter than you. You know, some people you can demoralize if you're not wise.
Right, right.
The whole purpose of gaining knowledge of God is always for personal development in your relationship to Him.
Right.
And in your faith in Him. It wasn't designed to win arguments. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Bible is not designed to win arguments.
That's right.
How do we know? Because the very first book of the Bible, the very first book and the very first verse.
Okay.
In the beginning, God.
That's it.
It doesn't say, in the beginning, this is where God came from, or this is what this. It's like, no, the assumption is God. Right. Case closed.
Exactly.
Drop the mic.
Right.
And then we got Dan from the Peanut Gallery says, yeah, it's all always about the love and relationship.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at, in this first segment, why are we here? What is the purpose of Christians being here? What is the purpose of creation? Why are we here? And can we know God? Can we know God in any way, shape, or form?
I got like three paragraphs. Well, really two paragraphs. Can I read them?
Okay, no. Because you know can summarize them, because it's only a 30-minute show. It's a 30-minute show.
It's too good.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I like looking at God's sovereignty, because we all talk about, you know, the ways that we are approaching this we all are talking about the way we're approaching this subject.
Sorry about that.
Of our study of God and what our focus is. And I've always submerged myself in studying the attribute of God that's called His sovereignty. And I'm reading The Sovereignty of God right now by A.W. Pink. And he does a great job.
A.W. Pink.
He's going in. And I just wanted to read it, and I know it's a lot, but it says, he starts out with 1 Chronicles 29:11. He says that, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and is in the earth. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." I love it. The sovereignty of God is an expression that once was generally understood. It was a phrase commonly used in religious literature. It was a theme frequently expounded in the pulpit. It was a truth which brought comfort to many hearts and gave virility and stability to Christian character. But today, to make mention of God, sovereignty is in many quarters to speak of an unknown tongue. And I'm going to stop there.
Wow. And I think that's a very poignant thing to mention, because sometimes we forget that we're talking about the Creator.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about some phantasm out there. We're not just talking about some distant, aloof being. We're talking about a Creator who's very much interested in His creation.
One more. Listen, the sovereignty of God, what does we mean by this expression? We mean the supremacy of God, the kingship of God, the godhood of God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that God is God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that He is the Most High, doing according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, so that none could stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" To say that God is sovereign is to declare that He is the Almighty, the possessor of all power in heaven and earth, so that none can defeat His counsel, thwart his purpose or resist his will. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that he is the governor among the nations, setting up kingdoms, overthrowing empires, and determining the course of destinies as pleaseth him best. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that he is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Such is the God of the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's now, and that's the problem with culture. Kind of going back to the beginning and thinking about DQ's question. And Rich Rich answered it well too. But culture does not, like Rich was saying earlier, culture does not say I'm going to submit to that supremacy. To say God is sovereign is to say God is in control. He runs it all. And like you said, and that's a biblical verse that says, who can question God and say, God, what are you doing?
Come on, man.
God, what are you doing? And a lot of times that's a problem with the culture. The culture knows there is a God, but then it's saying God, you know, like Rich was saying, God has got to be like me. God has got to do what I want to do instead of saying, hey, wait a minute. What does God really think? What is God really saying?
Right.
And how do I line myself up with him, not him lining himself up with me?
Right. And I think it's a perfect way to start out this conversation with submitting to the rule and reign of God. He's God. I mean, just the very attribute alone of holy means that he's set apart totally from creation. Just by position alone, we should be in submission to who he is. And to say that we define who God is, I think that's a bit arrogant. And I think it also shows that why our community and our society has come to the point that it is right now.
Right, and the only person that can define who God is God.
God himself.
And that answers, you know, one of the secondary questions that we were talking about is, can we know God?
Mm.
And the only way we can know God is based on how God chooses to reveal himself.
Yeah.
And that's why we have so many names of God. And that's why when God revealed his name to Moses, I am who I am.
Come on. Yeah.
I will be who I will be.
Yeah.
And that's why you have the different names.
Yeah.
Jehovah Nissi, Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Jehovah Jireh.
Or Elohim Jireh. It's
Elkanah.
Elkanah. And so you have these different names because God is who he will be when he decides to be, you know. And and so we'll get into the incarnation. Now, we got to resist, fellas, the temptation to preach.
DQ says, preach.
We got to resist the desire to preach, on a regular basis because—
I apologize.
As majestic as our God is,
sovereign
as our God is, he also made himself very practical.
Oh yeah.
So that we can understand him and make our thoughts worthy of him once again as the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so to start this off, to give everybody an understanding, it's like living in a two-dimensional society.
Mm-hmm.
And in that two-dimensional society, you can only see things that are straight ahead of you or on the side of you or on the back of you, okay?
Right,
you can only see on a plane. In order for a three-dimensional or four-dimensional society to make communication with you, you have to come down from your three-dimensional realm to communicate with the two-dimensional in the way that they would understand you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a plane, and if I were to put my finger on that plane, they'd only see what's in straight ahead of them or behind them as that is.
Right.
So I have to communicate or figure out how to communicate to that society. Thus is what the Lord did.
Yeah.
And understand, in these discussions, we're going to talk about three components. The components where Christians are challenged in their faith. The first component is, does God exist? You know, there are people that, how do you know God exists, and so on and so forth. Number two is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, history proves out, both biblical and non-biblical, that Jesus existed, that he was a person that was on this earth. The question that people get that challenge Christians from the world is, was Jesus who he said he was
right,
or is? And the third one, and this is the big one, this is the one that get the biggest challenges mm-hmm. to our faith, is the Bible the Word of God? And so that's what we're going to be talking about in these discussions. And I thought it was also obviously prudent to start it with the big one, who is God? Who is God? And so the as we get ready to bring this particular segment in, we're going to take these last few minutes and talk about why are we here?
Yeah.
Okay. Why are we here? Why are we here? Why did God create us? And I'm going to open this up with this example. There was a question in the Q&A. Somebody asked, you know, if God knew that Adam and Eve were going to eat from that tree, if God knew that they were going to do that, why did he let them do it? Are we just some big, huge, cosmic
robot?
The cosmic experiment, you know, where we just, he created some people, threw some jerks in, and let's see what happens, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, is that... And so I thought the answer that the professor gave was very profound.
Mm-hmm.
He said that God could have created the world in three other ways besides the way he did. One, he could have just not created anything. He could have just not created anything and been God in and of himself. Because remember, if nobody in all history believed in God, it would take nothing from him.
He right, wouldn't take no credence from him. He still would be God. Him,
it would give nothing back to him. He would still be God in and of himself.
And so
the second way was he could have created the earth where there was no choice but to do good.
That's robotic, right?
The third way is he could have created where there is no good or evil. Nothing. Just no good or evil. We just existed. Now, what's the problem with those three possibilities?
Mm.
There's no chance for love. There's no chance for love. You never experience the love of your wife. You'll never experience the joy of having your children born and holding them in your arms. Which are both gifts from God. And the way that he created us, above all things, we can now experience the love of God and the glory of God with a wonderful faith looking forward to the kingdom of God in being in his presence.
And Dan says to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Right. And that's what we were talking about as far as the kingdom. And so when we talk about enjoying this God, what do you guys, when we talk about enjoying God, because by proxy, because we can experience the goodness of God, he gave us the choice to choose him. By proxy, we also have the choice to reject him.
Exactly.
And what we're trying to get people to do as far as the Captive Project is understand that you better be sure that you have the right relationship with God. Because, first of all, to even believe that there is no God is ridiculous. And we alluded to it a little bit before. But to accept atheism as your stance is really not only risky, but it's really ridiculous, because you are saying there is no creator, there's no God that set things into motion. And that's like saying a printer explosion happened and boom, the Webster Dictionary came out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The evidence of intelligence lets you know that there was intelligence involved in the creation.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh.
And so to sit up here and to make that particular statement is just is ridiculously contradictory to your own personal life. Mm. You're intelligently designed, so it took an intelligence to do it. And we can come up with a number of different examples. But if you really want the answer to who is God, if you really are looking for the creator of everything, the Bible makes it very clear.
Yeah.
If you seek him, he is not going to be difficult to find.
Right.
At all. Amen. And so when you guys think about this, we have to remember that God is incomprehensible in so many ways, in a number of ways, but he is knowable truly. We can't know him exhaustively. We won't know everything. Somebody said the other day, when we get to heaven, we'll know everything. No, when you get to heaven, we ain't gonna be God. We can know God truly, but not exhaustively. So we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about that in our next upcoming session. How we can know God. And stick with us. This is going to be a great ride.
Yeah.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.